Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we just slow things down a bit to help you communicate with more clarity and confidence. Each episode is only 20 minutes long, and we're going to give you practical tips to help you respond to current events of today, what is happening in your work and at your world. We are focused on generational conflict, generational disconnect. In our workplace today, you probably are finding three different generations. And so how are we communicating? How does this impact our work? And joining me today, we have the Senior VP of Global Client Experience at MindGroove. Her name is Rachel Gigley-Courier. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Melinda. How are you doing?
I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me.
I'm looking forward to our conversation today. And so I'm just going to kick this off to ask you, what would you hope that when someone finishes this episode, that could change in their lives?
That they are able to think more compassionately and speak more intentionally with team members in their workplace, regardless of the discipline they work in or their generation that they were born into.
I love it. Because so often we're just speaking from where we're coming from and what our beliefs are, what our values are, which may be so different from the multi-generations that are in the company. And so you're saying to have the forethought and intention to slow down and really think about how they receive it.
Absolutely. In fact, my dear colleague, Christy, who is our VP of Resources at MindGroove, she talks about intentional communication with her children and talks about it in the analogy of toothpaste. And once you've squeezed the toothpaste out of the tube, you really can't put it back in, you know, and your words are like that. And so being careful, or at least thinking in moments when you have some downtime, have some learning time to think about how you use your words will help you then when you're live. Because I'll tell you one thing I know for sure, it's very difficult when you are in a fast-paced industry like advertising where I work to, in the moment, be coaching yourself live. You're not going to be speaking in flow. You're going to be live in the minute, and you've got to be then dealing with your boss, your coworker, your peer, your teammate, your junior, your support, your admin, your executive assistant, whoever you may have the luxury of communicating with. And those team members are all going to come from different perspectives.
Yes.
And what we're going to try and speak about is how we land our communication in a way that they can receive it as it was intended.
I love that. And that's what we're going to do today. So before we get into the meat of the episode, can you share with us, what are you passionate about? Tell us more about what you do at MindGroove.
Yes. So at MindGroove, an agency, a full service marketing agency, we focus in on different modern media channels. The role of data and deep, deep analytics can really pull together sophisticated marketing campaign strategies and momentum for our clients that will deliver their performance and growth story. All those words were a lot, and that represents, I think, the complexities of today's modern agency environment, where we are really trying to help clients of all different types of industries and verticals to solve their business challenges by using the power of performance marketing or the power of e-commerce and the connective tissue between all of those pieces with rich business insights driven by data platforms. And gosh, that is so much for a team member to have to deal with. And so I work with different cross-functional teams within that environment, media, commerce, creative, analytics, and strategy. And I personally lead the team that interfaces most and primarily with the client and then brings that information back to all those different team members to try and solve for our clients' problems.
Right. That is a lot of different people that you're working with, a lot of different angles of perspectives that you have to consider. And you're working with global brands. I saw eBay, Sony.
Correct.
So you're working with a lot. So you mentioned, and the marketplace is definitely your clients, their demands. What is happening has evolved, I'm sure, over time, and a lot more data, a lot more analytics, but a lot more rich content. So you're dealing with that, but then you're also dealing with the multi-generations of people within your firm. How has that changed or evolved in the way that you work?
Well, I think first and foremost, I find, of course, as I mature and become more senior myself, of course, I have become one of the older team members in the group. And right now, one of the new media channels that I personally am learning and adapting to is the complexities of and opportunities of Amazon ads and how deep a commerce platform such as Amazon can reach our audience, how connected we can think about insights and how richly we can message to our consumers. And so I'm learning that new channel. And so, but in 2006, I was also learning Facebook as it launched and how we would use that for marketing. And so I can kind of think about the role of not only in multi-generational experience and the way in which it's important for us to always have embraced new channels throughout our career. And so when you're working in marketing, the experience that you gain through embracing new media, new channels, new ways in which people consume content, the generational element is also something that links to a deeper understanding of channels, marketing tactics, initiatives, and experience. And so with all of that comes a need to train and pass that on. Right. And there are certain elements of our industry that are very much transferable. And there are certain elements that that are not, and some things that are linked to perhaps communication or grit, graft, that link to our ability to be concise, our ability to be able to understand a client need or ask and distill it in a way that is simplified and easy for the next team member to pick up. That is also evolving and changing. So yeah, I'll pause there and we can think more.
Yeah, I can see that. So you yourself with your role have to consider a lot with regard to the different channels that are available, the different channels that are work and do not work for your clients. But then also, how do you pass down all this information to your team so that they continue to evolve it, continue to refine it for your clients?
Yeah.
And some information you can change, and some information you could pass down, and some information you don't. So how does that impact your team as you involve them? And you're working across multifaceted, multi-department or the multi-roles, right? How does that, how do you do that? How do you do that effectively?
We try and do some good documentation. So first and foremost, try and make sure that any new elements that we need to teach are distilled into a one-pager or some kind of really easy guide. And then there are other things that are softer skills, client communication 101, the art of
Pausing or listening.
pausing, the art of negotiation, the art of discussing when you're discussing timeline or missed feedback, the role of receiving complaint. There are all different nuances in the job, and some of which are built on experience, and others of which you can bottle up and put on paper and try and teach. And I guess right now, where I am in my role, and as our agency grows, I'm navigating which are the ones that I can teach by putting it on paper and sharing it along, and which are the ones that just have to be worked through as experience,
I could see that. And do you also consider how the person receives the information, how they prefer to be trained?
Yes, I mean, the other role of that, as working with newer teams, younger teams, junior teams, is the role of feedback. So as they are navigating perhaps a new discipline, a new media, a new opportunity, for example, a team member may have never worked with influencers before and they have an opportunity to work with influencers on a new client. How do we get that team member comfortable enough to confidently navigate that work through the system? Those are elements that are easy for us to help to kind of connect the dots and stay close with that team in order to make sure that they have that leadership. But then what if that team member says something on a call that maybe was a little tone deaf or lacking a little piece of feedback and they hadn't quite threaded it through? There you want to give feedback in a way that the team member is able to hear it without getting too downheartened so that they can go, got it, and on to the next. In a way
How have
they
you been
will
able to do that? Yeah, how have you been able to find that balance?
giving feedback in a way that keeps a focus on the results that you're looking for. Well, I do definitely recommend a book called Radical Candor by Kim Scott, which is definitely one I live by or try to, which helped me see a blind spot in my own practice, which was that when somebody does, a team member perhaps misspeaks in a call, or perhaps we get to the call and we weren't prepared. Perhaps the client deliverable has not had quite enough review internally before it's been shared with a client. Perhaps we've missed the mark. There are all kinds of ways in which, as we progress, the work needs improvement. And as a manager, there are all kinds of feelings you might have as you see work that is in need of improvement. Why did we not get that right? How come we missed the deadline? Why did we not capture that feedback? And I think in my younger years of management, my emphasis on the why did this happen was unhelpful. Because the real emphasis needs to be, what do we need to do to ensure we've got it now? What else do we need to clarify with client to make sure that we don't miss this again? How can I help you take this to the next step? Because right now we've clearly got a disconnect in the information. And so that was part of the training, the experience that I had to build and that I try and use today in my daily work with the team is in not focusing so much on the miss as in focusing, because in doing so, people's defenses get up. Instead, what we need to do in the moment is focus on the work and the improvements we need to see in the work, or the improvement we need to see in the client relationship, or the reassurance we need to give to the client. And we can worry about why did we get here later. Right now, we got to put all of our energy into helping to solve the problem so that we get it better fast.
So they're not afraid of making the mistake in the
Yes.
future.
Correct.
Because yeah, but
So
I am
important.
curious. I am curious though, in this generation, Do you find that a lot of them are putting in the work and then wondering, when am I going to get a pay raise? When am I going to move up? Are they wanting to move up faster? And then also, do they truly, because I could put myself back in when I was just starting out into the workplace, not truly understanding you have the impact, you have the gravity, you have the pressure of meeting client deadlines. As an employee, I get my paycheck. I feel like if I do the work, I should be elevated, promoted. It's like a step by step, but it's like I didn't have the pressure, and I wish I kind of knew the impact that I have to move the company forward, to help the company grow. I don't think that clicked enough. It was more about just doing the work and getting a promotion, but not necessarily really understanding the gravity and the pressures that the company has of meeting client satisfaction, meeting client expectations, and how does this all impact the client versus just doing the work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
What do you think?
Well, I think there are so many little nuances to it. So, for example, let's go to first off, like, why a team member who is working their butt off wants a promotion, right?
They want a
They
promotion.
do. They do. They want a promotion. Happens every day. They're all knocking on the door,
They're
right? They're all
all
knocking on the door. They all want
they're like,
one.
I
They
did this.
all.
I did this. Look at what I
Yeah,
did.
they all
Right.
want what, let's say they all deserve one, right? Let's say, for example, they all deserve it. Well, in that moment, maybe they all deserve one, but do they consistently demonstrate that they have what it takes for me to say to the company, we should take 20 or 30 grand and put it into this addition, this team member versus taking that times three or four and getting as an additional support team member, like the considerations that you have around budgets, around promotion. At the same time, I can imagine that a team member who's an account manager and they're, still on their early rungs of the career ladder are easily frustrated around more money and a better title. I can really still feel that in my own bones.
I agree.
Can you? I feel it. I remember it.
I do.
And so, and I love the team and I want them to succeed and I want them to stay. So part of me wants to give out promotions to everyone, left, right, and
Right.
center. It's the Oprah Winfrey meme. You get a promotion, you get a promotion, you get a promotion, right? At the same time, does it do? I remember when I left a company to get a senior AM from an AM, and I left a company for and I remember the CEO saying, "You got to be careful that you don't try and run before you can walk." And it stayed with me this whole this whole time. And I reflect upon it. I reflect upon my own hiring challenges of needing a team member who is mature enough to single-handedly handle a client, or a team member whose maturity isn't there and I could not leave to single-handedly handle a client, and the difference between that. And when I make a choice about promotion or not, if they aren't, that's just one example of one level. If they are not ready, then I'm doing a disservice to me, to them, the team members around them who are also looking and will start asking more if I give that team member an easy promotion, let's say. Now they would say, this isn't easy. I'm getting paid peanuts and I'm working my butt off. So then you go to the other elements, which is around trying to manage expectations around growth. And try and encourage consistent practice of their discipline, consistency around their support level, their always on, their hunger. And of course, I'm a demanding boss and I want it all. And when, our client expectations are higher, faster, more visible, they're looking for so much too. There's something in the DNA of the team member that I'm getting much better at hiring. I
Oh,
don't
good.
know if they have that DNA or not. And it gets in, and that does get into multi-generational because it gets into things like grit, you know. The cognitive load of advertising today is very different to even 10 years ago. And your ability to be resilient while managing the complexities, plus maybe a tricky personality of client, plus the demands of all of the different energy within an agency in a fast-paced environment just makes it so much harder on a team member. And if you're doing that while feeling underpaid or undervalued, woo!
That's a recipe for disaster. However, if they're doing it and they're doing it, even if they're underpaid, but they're doing it because of the love of just growing and developing their skills and what do you think? What is that? Is that a value? Is that something you do see them or them doing that, or is there less of them that do that because they just want, they're looking at the pay versus the value of the experience? And are they really underpaid? They're probably at market.
Yeah,
And they
they're at
have opportunity.
market
They're
for
at
sure.
market.
I mean, okay, well, this goes to the generational thing. Demands are significantly higher. So no, I would say there isn't a single team member who is underpaid or undervalued or at the wrong title. At the same time, the expectation of the team and the companies that they join is that they come
They
to a
can move.
company that is going to honor their spark and help them to get to the next level. And they expect that next level to be, they honestly expect that next level to be within a year. And that is difficult too. And that's all
That
very
is
difficult to
difficult.
handle, you know?
That is very difficult. Would it help if they understood the big vision of the company and they did it because of the mission of the company? They love the company, the values of the company. That's where I used to sit. And I used to stay at companies for a lot longer just because I love the people, I love the mission of the company, and I was able to grow my experience
Right.
and develop them.
Yeah.
And so is that lost?
No, I don't think so. But I think that they bemoan the difficulties of the job. I think that more and more is asked of team members,
Them.
and I think that we all have an expectation, for example, that AI is going to take out our junior team members. I personally don't see it happening right now where I see it. I think we still have a real need for facilitation through the work of creative and production. We still need team members to interface directly with clients to help them solve what their marketing challenges are, and we still need somebody to kind of be in hand-in-hand partnership to do that. And so when we ask that of our team, I wish that they could, and I need to myself better communicate the value of tenure and experience, and that doing something once or twice or over 3 months is not the same as doing it for 2 years and really being nay, an expert within the space and the field, and then being able to therefore transfer that expertise to a different type of client with a different type of product or service. That is where you are able to then
That
really
right.
thrive.
Exactly. And that is where the company is going to see your value because now you're taking on these roles that actually directly impact the revenue generation
Right.
of the company.
Yes, and that's where, you know, for team members who are demanding of growth, who are ambitious to really succeed and push themselves into that growth trajectory, you know, if they do show that they can drive revenue growth within a client, if they can bring in money on that client, or if they can really help that client to drive huge success for their business, which ultimately leads to success for our business, then that is where real professional growth comes from. You know, that is where demonstration meets true execution, and the rubber meets the road, because they are proving their worth by turning their hard graft into revenue dollars for the agency. And that is the ultimate role of more and more senior talent, you know?
Versus, hey, I'm going to do XYZ, I get my paycheck, and then give me a promotion.
Yes, but much more unheard of. So for,
Right,
you know,
right. So that's great.
so going back to how we communicate on that, you know, so one of the things in going back to radical candor or how to communicate in a way that basically somebody is able to understand your feedback. Maybe that is about their professional growth. Maybe they're also it's just about how they were in that last meeting you were in together. Or maybe it's about providing feedback to a creative on the work that they did for a client. There's something about the way in which we deliver our feedback so that people are able to hear it, receive it, and then act upon it in the way you hope that they would, you know, whether that is to spark into some redos of creative, or whether that is to really knuckle down and get a timeline redone, or whether that is to just make sure that they're always on time for their client meetings next. You know, we're hope what's important for me is that I get the team to be better, stronger, more experienced by retaining them and working out with them some of their improvements that they need to naturally make as they grow in their career. And so as I see anything within the team, finding a way to get them better, to get them working a little bit at a better clip or a little with a little bit less error or a little bit more seamlessly takes feedback, and that feedback can either be landed well with compassion in a way they can receive, or it can land in a way that makes them want to dust off their resume and get it spruced up onto LinkedIn and start applying for jobs. And that has been my experience, that you've got to take care in how you then guide those improvements or growth areas in order to make it something that can be tackled versus the defensive wall going up.
Well, they're very lucky to have you, your team, the organization, for you to take a moment to really consider how they're receiving that feedback. And some managers won't even give feedback. So you're giving feedback and also you're doing it in a way that hopefully they can receive it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and making sure that it's not only in a way that they can receive it, I guess, but also in a way that continues to build your relationship with them, because that's the other piece of it, is that you know, you've got to, if you want to keep your team members growing and staying within the company, and that is something that's of importance to me, you then have to make sure that you're building a good relationship with them, you know, an honest working relationship. I believe that you should bring, you know, your full self to work, and really have an ability to be yourself at work in a professional sense, of course, and hopefully have a dialogue with your boss, and bosses where you can talk about your career, you can talk about your clients, you can talk about your work, you can talk about your fears even in a safe environment at the right junctures. And that would be my dream, because that's what I think would keep team members retained.
I agree. That is the sweet spot, absolute sweet spot of when people feel most comfortable, when people are most creative, is when you can provide that safe space to solve problems and you're building that relationship and they're willing to take action without feeling fear, too much fear of retribution or fear of failure. And so they have that safe space starts from there. So cool. Thank you so much, Rachel. And so what is that one takeaway that you hope that people could remember?
Oh, I think it's really important to try and speak clearly, speak directly with empathy for all team members. You know, at work, when people have putting their heart and soul into it, bring care to communication. But also find a way to build rapport and be direct.
Love it. Drop the mic. Drop the mic. I'm gonna pick up that book.
Yeah, you should do. It's really good.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Rachel, for your time, for your wonderful conversation. I really learned a lot about the different cultures and generations in our workplace and how we can communicate and work better together and be more aware of and intentional with our communication. So
Yeah, well,
thank
thank you.
you.
It was
Thank you
good
so
chat.
much. It was really fun. And thank you, audience, for joining. I trust that you got your takeaway implemented in your day. And remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate, you're not just communicating, but you're also connecting and making a positive difference in our lives. Thank you so much. Until next time. Bye-bye. Bye, Rachel.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparked something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.